Mr. Bell, Reel 7. Now, I want now to ask about when you were actually involved in the sinking of a U-boat. U-988 it was done, and it was you, the Duckworth, the Essington, the Cook, and some aeroplanes. And it was a problem of them being at the bottom. I wonder if you could tell us a bit about that, what you remember now.
I don't remember clearly, actually, what happened there, but I remember dissecting the U-boat and reporting it to my officer. The officer watched, and he asked me to investigate it. And this was probably the time when the captain asked me, I was reeling off all the various relative information to him, you know. And he said, George, he said, can you tell me? He said, one thing. I said, what's that, Captain? He said, if I can, yes. He said, what's the U-boat captain thinking? I said, that I can't tell you. I said, unless I get his brains and stuff. He said, okay, fine. You're doing fine. He said, that's fine. So as I was reeling off all the relative bearings and the relative information, he was coming up, he was going down, he was turning left, he was turning right, and all the rest of it, as he do, you see. He's coming towards, he's going away, he's coming up the surface and so forth. And that's probably the time we did that. And I think we forced it to the surface eventually.
No, not that one. No, no, that one was... This is the one where they used... It was actually destroyed and was sitting on the bottom. And
I see. But I have to bring it to mind. Yes. Yes, it was sitting on the bottom. You're quite right. Because he asked me, shall we go over it again or will... You know, the procedure was to withdraw from the operation, then to run down it again and pick it up again, you know. And that's what he did. He went away from a mile or so, you know, and then we ran in on it again. And I had to pick it up again, you know. And we thought he was lurking on the bottom, and actually he was lurking on the bottom, you know.
And they used the echo sound thing?
Oh, yes, yes. We used the echo sound, yes. And that's what our fix is, you see, is to transmit the sound beam and get an echo back, you know. And it was lying on the bottom, so we got no movement from the door.
But they used the echo, that's the echo, so the echo sound is the Aztec?
No, the Aztec is transmitting the sound beam and getting the echo back. And you have to use Doppler reflex, that means that you've got the echo back, and you have to analyse the echo, whether it's high or low, you know.
No, but they used the echo sound as to make a relief map of the sea bottom. Were you involved in that at all?
No. I was just at the department, but they were, I think Duckworth did that. I think Duckworth did that. I'm nearly sure Duckworth did that, because she took all drones and the echo sound apparatus.
Now, one thing is, that around about this time in the Channel, they got the nickname of the Pink Elephant, or the, you know.
Oh, yes.
And this for a big change of course to follow up sudden Aztec contact. That's partly you. Can you tell us about that?
Well, we got the Pink Elephant because we had an officer on board. Giles was the man on board, and he was asked to design a suitable...
Could you explain first why you got the nickname? And why it was...
No, I think that my explanation would be that we got the Pink Elephant because we were all the lads, you know, like to drink ashore, you know, and they come ashore with, you know, drunk as monkeys to get back, you know, and they used to, the rule was that if you couldn't get at the gangway and you were on steam, you know, you were in trouble. So the lads used to go up the gangway and they're on steam, rocky as could be, you know, and this was a design that he had formed in his own head, you know, of the Pink Elephant, you see. And the Pink Elephant with it. And it always had the third group, escort group flag, you know. The Pink Elephant had the third escort group flag as well. And I think that's how we got it. But I think that was his own idea of Pink Escort. The Pink Elephant, you know, was the sign of the lads being drunk, you know, quite a lot. At one time when we were in the harbour, I remember we had a stoker who came on board and he wasn't able to get off the gangway. So, and one of his mates was sitting on the deck, you know, at the after deck. And he saw Jan Stricker calling, who was a lumberer. And Jan Stricker couldn't get back of his own steam. And he fell over the side, you see. And as he fell over the side, he was in trouble. And his mate jumped up again, and his mate couldn't swim. So that was it, you see. And Strick got out, and and the other fellow got out as well. They were sitting on the propeller guard, you see, arguing with each other why the ship should be there. Maybe that had to do with the pink elephant, I don't know. That would be an explanation. But pink elephant was certainly out in Sydney. I've got a picture of it there, you see.
Now, what about you, while you were there, you were based at Devonport, I think, while you were, was that right, while you were in the Channel?
No, Milford Haven. Milford Haven.
Milford Haven.
We came out from the, to go to the Impeach, we went from Milford Haven.
Well, where did you go back to?
I think we came back to Portsmouth, because we got a school damage to go at that time.
And what happened about that? What do you remember
about that? What happened about the schools being damaged? But all I remember was we came to Portsmouth and I was able to ring my wife. She wasn't my wife then, but she was around in the Navy.
Now, you went back to based at Belfast in July, early July.
I think we went to Belfast, yes, I think we did.
Now, what happened when you were at Belfast? What was life like when you were? But I know you didn't stay in port long. What was that?
Well, we kept going on to coastal convoys and things like that. I think that's right.
And what do you remember about those?
Well, I remember we used to go up to Dundee and those places, you know, but the coastal areas of Scotland. And we came back.
I think we're based at Belfast then.
Yes, I think we were. Well, we came back to Milford Haven, or Belfast, or Portsmouth, you know, whichever it was the nearest, you see, to get our orders again for the next one. You know, looked about pretty well.
What would you do when you were at shore at Belfast? What do you remember of that?
Well, we used to go to the Cosmore Cafe. The Cosmore Cafe was the place we used to go to. It was reserved for officers, but we used to say it was in. And there was a cup of coffee and whatnot in Belfast. But one of the cook that was next to mine, he used to go dancing in Belfast. He used to go dancing in Belfast. He came dancer, a Scotsman, John Simpson. He used to go there to the Cosmore Cafe. And we used to go to the Cosmore Cafe and go, well, what do you see from everybody there for some reason? It was very nice, the Cosmore Cafe table. I remember going there quite a few times. Some of that used to go drinking, you know.
Did you drink at all?
Not much, very little. Very little.
Where would you go when you did?
Some pub or other, but you know. And we drank Guinness, of course. Guinness is the popular drink anyway. But actually, we found some of the Irish go hostiles sometimes, you know. Even in those days. There was one time when I went ashore, there was a machine going up at the other end of the street, there was a machine going up at the other end, and I hurriedly dusted the bottle of spank with my mate, and he said, I was my mate, and I said, I didn't know. I quickly broke the white handle, you know, quick. And they all said, oh, we're the McGonagalls, and we're Warren with the McGarrigles or somebody, you know. It was a family feud. And I thought, my God, we're supposed to be on our side. And that was the only time I remember that. However, we passed safely, and that was all well and end well, you know. But that was one episode I knew. As I used to sing a bit as well, I'd been in church choirs and boys, I told you before. And I then had a baritone voice after that. And I used to sing in St. Anne's Cathedral Choir as well. I got into that for a while. Because I went there one day and somebody heard me and said, you're obviously a church man. I said, yes. And they used to lead me Castle Circus there. And I said, we have to go and join the Cathedral Choir. Which is very good. I said, yes. Yeah. When I was in Harbour, of course, they never questioned me when I'd be there or when I wouldn't be, you know, because they didn't want to get mixed up with our movements, you see. But that was very good. And that was very nice to take in St. Anne's Cathedral.
What about Leaves Home? Do you remember them at all?
I can't remember Leaves. Well,
Did you get any home leave?
Yes, we did get home leave. We took a lot of Stranraer and then back home, you know, on the railway. Land of Stranraer. Sometimes we came to land, and when we got to land, there was a man, the lad, the pal of mine on the drum, it was a lad called Southwell. He was a young woman, young lad, but he was saying that he was wrong, you know, and when we came out, he fancied it, and he said, look at the customs men on the end of the book for me, you know, and I said, well, don't be silly. And he said, oh no, he said, I better try to do something about it, get rid of it or something, you know. I had some rum as well, I said, I'm going to get to the mine, I drunk mine off. I can't remember the trip from Land of Stranraer. I can't remember that Land of Stranraer. But I remember getting into the barracks of Stranraer, which was an army barracks, and the food was terrible.
What about, you had a story about jumping off the train at Chesterley Street, do you want to tell that?
Oh yes, yes. A lad called, there was two of the lads, one from Saxon, two from Saxon, and me. And when we came into the station, I said, oh, well, jump off the train, we're not going right to Newcastle, and we'll have to come back again. And they said, no, we'll jump off the train. So we said, I said, now look, I'll jump off last. Those two lads going first, you know. And they went first, and I jumped off last. And I just missed the viaduct as well. I just jumped off before the viaduct. If I'd been a bit there, I'd jumped over the edge of the viaduct and killed myself, probably. But, and I jumped off the embankment, you know, and I landed against a tree that was going up the embankment. And I was wrapped around the tree, so that saved me. And then, of course, I made my way to my girlfriend's house in Chesterley Street here and stayed the night there before I went to the Chesterley Street, you see. But that was one episode, definitely. Another thing was, well, I'll tell you this, but the Vicar of London used to write to me all the time, you know. His name was R.W.M. Robinson Walter Milton Ellison. I remember that distinctly. He used to write to me, he was an old man by that time. He used to write to me. And, I went to see him, I came and leave sometimes, you know. And he ended up in Sherwin's Hospital, of course, he was an old man. And he still had my picture in the choir rooms, you know. But I must tell you about him, when I joined at the first, I'll tell you this in different manner. When I joined at the first, we got a letter from the Anglican asking if I'd been in jail or somewhere in detention. And he wrote back and said, certainly not. He said, George was a fine man, so he wouldn't do anything to put him in jail. He said, well, I had some acts on my back today. He said, I've been with Mr. Duggan. And he said, I said, no, I got to play football. You know, somebody, I was lying as a goalkeeper on the ground, and somebody dragged his studs over my back. And of course, the flesh was not, you know. So that was when let me say there, the he stood me in good stead and said, oh no, you know, getting rid of him that fast, you know. So that was good.
Did you enjoy your leave?
Yes, I
did. What would you do?
Well, I went to see friends, of course, at Rumbly Hill, by the way, where I joined it from. And Chesley Street, of course. And great homework that I knew, you know. And played tennis as well. I like tennis as well. I used to play tennis quite a lot. But, of course, a lot of the lads, of course, were away into the war, you see, so they didn't have a lot of friends at home. A lot of them had joined up, you see, to the Army, Air Force, and Navy. Some of my pals joined the Air Force, you know, I was all going out along the Navy.
No, I think the next thing was the Russian convoy runs that you went on.
Oh, yes.
Which the 3rd Escort Group was on a convoy, two convoys, JW61, JW61A.
Yes,
this was October, going to Murmansk. Now, what do you remember of these?
The weather was absolutely horrible. I remember one lad, particularly one incident that I remember, where a lad called Venn. He was on the boat duty, up the mast, you know, on the mast, at the top of the mast, in the little crow's nest there. And when he came off watch, It looks very peculiar. He's staring, you know, his eyes are staring. And the leaning hands are hold on and leaning down. And his eyeballs are frozen. His eyeballs are actually frozen in the sockets, you know? Because he came off his mask, you see? He must have been warm, took it, came off his mask, and his eyeballs were frozen. And he said, no, just leave him. He said, you know, he said, the water will come out. The froze, you know, he was in pain because he was screaming a bit, you know, he was in pain. But I remember that his eyeballs froze. And the return from all that again, it was all like next day, that night he was okay.
And what was the weather like? Oh, yeah. Can you describe it a bit? What was it like?
Yes. 40 degrees below even. I mean, if you went on deck and you touched anything, any wires or anything like that, you know, you could have burns, you know, on your hands. And you just have to chip the ice off with ice axes, you know. Chip them, you know, because the ship will turn over if you've got too much ice on. So that we have the on duty chipping the ice off. Another thing I remember as well, on the dumps we had a line on the top, and we had a belt around our waist, you know, and we had a little hook on, and we used to have a hook that on the table on. As you walk along the ship on exercise, we were walking along, passing others as well, of course, and they had a line as well, you know, and you had past each other, you had to squeeze past each other. Well, remember those lines that would stop you going over the side, or stop you from sinking if you did go over the side, you see. Just, you know, you were rolling from the side.
Was it very rough, the weather?
Well, not on the convoy I was on, no, not pretty good, I know. It was fairly stable, the dump was fairly stable. And we didn't have. The roughest one I remember is that we were escorting the battleships to
The convoy you were escorted, they were escorted to two troop ships.
Yeah.
Were you aware that they were carrying Russian prisoners back to the US?
I wonder where that until I read this book.
So you didn't know that then?
No. There were two troop ships, yes, there were.
Now, what...
I remember the 29, the other ships. There were 29, weren't they? There were two convoys, so I'm maybe getting them mixed up. There was one convoy of two troop ships, and the other was 29 ships, wasn't it? Sorry, yes, I did.
And
then they knew why what they carried those troop ships, you know. I know that now.
And what about when the first it was quiet. Do you remember when the German U-boats started to try and attack? Or do you recall?
Yes. They were warned that they were in Wolfcast packs, you know. And I think they mentioned the Wolfcast pack group, you were the Panthers or somebody. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's what you remember, not what's in the book.
No,
yeah.
No.
What do you remember of the attacks?
Well, we were often attacked like that. We often attacked the U-boats, you know, and we were on straight away, and we used to discharge them, keep them down, you know. We used to sling a pattern of discharges over the stern and keep them down, you know.
Once
they were down there, they went through, you see, but when they had gone to surf, that they would get their bearings on it.
Now, I believe there was a problem with using Aztec
in
very cold conditions, or in Arctic conditions.
Yes,
could you talk about that?
Sometimes the Aztec just didn't work, you know, it just didn't give the results it should do. And we wondered why. And there was these air currents, you know, that were, or the sea currents that were coming through, you know. And they were muffling the Aztec, you know, the Aztec sound base, you see. And we were quite fuzzy at the time with the while out there, as we think we were quite fuzzy at that. And we just didn't know how to handle that, but they used to be, say, they'll shoot the Aztec down, you know, and then they would put the drone down again and say, right, resume duties, you see. But I do remember that, yes, I do remember that, that we sometimes used to adopt a shoe. Because the Aztec was very efficient when it was working, it was very, very efficient.
You got to Poliano on 28th of October, and you were there 3 days. Do you remember anything about Poliano? Or being in
Port? No, I can't remember much about it. I can't remember much about Poliano. that we were sent there, and we were told to lie low there until we took the next convoy out, you see. I remember that, the Poliardo. Because the U-boats were waiting for us coming up from Longmont.
So this is when you took the RA-61 back?
Yes, that's right.
Do you remember anything about that?
Yes, I think that we were sent to Poliardo, and we were told to lie low until the... until we could come out from the U-boat. We were cruising on the surface, going close, you know? And we thought, that's a bit much, the wind would help in this community, you know? So we went to Poliano, further up the coast, and we came out and tried to catch the convoy back home. That was where we was.
RA-61. Do you remember anything about that?
No, not really. It was just another convoy, you know? One convoy was much like another. And I don't remember that there was anything to remember about that convoy. It wasn't fast, it wasn't slow, you know, it was a medium-paced convoy, you know. You had to go at the speed of those ship, of course, when you're in convoy, you know. And it was just like any other convoy.
Now, the next period, if you were operating in the Irish Sea, there was a sort of big effort to sweep the Irish Sea. And they're all sort of all round the Irish Sea. This may be what you were referring to earlier, but they're sort of scouring right across the Irish Sea in an operation called CE. I don't know what that means, but do you remember operating in the Irish Sea? What's the next thing you remember then?
I remember being in the Irish Sea, but we didn't really know what it was about, you know. We didn't have any contact, we didn't have much to report. We were just in the Irish Sea, and that was it, you know. I don't remember much about that place at all.
What's the next thing you do remember, then?
I remember the next thing I do remember is coming to Portsmouth and getting away from there. That's all I remember.
And that was, when was that?
That was VE Day celebration.
What do you remember of the VE Day celebrations?
Well, VE Day, our schools had got damaged somehow. I don't remember how or why, but they did get damaged. And we were sent to Portsmouth Harbour. And we couldn't go to sea, of course. And I asked my officer, subject to the master, I said, do you know what I'm doing this day, being there? He said, well, what do you want to do? I said, well, I want to go see my girlfriend. She's just at the sea street. And he said, oh, yes, I think that can be a day. She said, I'll give you a lesson. I was working in the ship's office at the time, you know, with Marsh. And he said, I'll give you a letter, he said, to the base accountant officer. I said, well, he used to give me a letter with nothing in it, you know. He used to say, to the base accountant officer, if anybody asks you, what you're doing, you see. And he gave me this letter here, B.E. or base accountant officer. And I phoned Dorothy up and I said, would you like to meet me at the gig hall at Christmas? And she said, well, I have to ask my officer to hand it off, you know. And I said, okay, and she did. And, I said, I'll meet you at 1 o'clock, at the Guildhall office. Of course, the Guildhall had been bombed, so I think it was a shell of the Guildhall. We still had these two lovely stanchions outside. And I said, well, I'll meet you at the steps of the Guildhall. When I got there, it was thousands of shillers, of course. There was thousands of rents as well. And I said, I'm not going to, and I should have seen that one of those lampposts, I see the lamppost. A fellow in the provost said to me afterwards, it was you that seen the lamppost? I said, oh yes, it was. And I saw Dorothy wave to the crowd. So we said, when I'll be there together.
And what were the celebrations like that day in Portsmouth?
Oh, they were tremendous, because everybody was elated that the war was just about finished then, so. It was on slash legs then, Hitler was just about defeated, you see. And everybody was elated. People danced about in the squares and all that sort of thing. You know. Oh yes, and much drink going on, you know, and all that sort of thing.
Did you get drunk at all? Or?
I was a very good living fella, I must admit. In those days. I've deteriorated since Peter. But nevertheless.
Now, what the group was disbanded quite soon after that. What do you remember of what happened next then?
Well, she went to Hull to pay off the tolls, didn't she? To Paul, wasn't that Paul's job? It was a docking Hull to pay off, you know.
What happened when you paid off?
Well, the crew were sent back to their barracks, you see. I was sent back to Drake in Denver.
And when was that?
Well,
we've looked at the papers. It's July 45. That's when you paid off.
Yes.
And what happened next? Then you were at
just before that we paid off. July 45. Was that when I was remember?
Yep.
Yes. I'll tell you what happened.
And then it says Beaver, July 45. What happened anyway?
Beaver. That was
Weymouth. What do you remember is what happened there? What happened when you paid off?
Well, we went to Hull. And we were all called and said we were going back to barracks. You see, that was just finished at the time. That was her war service finished, you see. And we were all cleared up. I thought I was going to Osprey. Now, I think I sent the brick, wasn't I?
It says Beaver. I don't know what this Beaver is, but you were only there one day and then you went to Osprey.
Beaver. Osprey. I went to Osprey, didn't I?
In June.
That's right. That's the outfit basically for paying off. So I'll send to Osprey, that's right. Beaver, I can't remember.
What happened at Osprey then?
Osprey, I was sent to barracks in the usual barrack routine, you know, when you're in barracks and you're just hanging about, you know. And I was waiting for my next draft, you see. And I was told I was going to China.
How did you feel about that?
I didn't like it at all. I thought, why the hell should I go to China? The war's finished. But of course, the Japanese war wasn't finished. But I was eventually told I was going to China. And I'd be given a fortnight's leave before I went to China. So I was going to Hong Kong, that was it. And sure enough, I got married in the meantime. My brother was a pastor and fixed up with a special license, and I got married, you see, to Dozier. And then I was given a fortnight's leave, draft leave, to go to China. And off I went to China. And by that time, I was at the HMS Lothar, wasn't I? And so it was a minesweeper. I didn't like that.
What was it like?
I tell you what was that subconscious in my mind. I thought, here I am, survived all this lot, you know, and I'm going to have to be grown up by school in mines. You know, here. And self-preservation. I didn't like that at all. And we had a skipper called Lieutenant Commander Gentle, he was called. He was anything but, I didn't like him at all. But I did get, when I was on there, the officer, I forget who he was now, said to me, you worked the ship's office, didn't you? I said, yes. I said, I did the work I regretted would normally do with the Pfizer right there. He said, oh, well, he said, you're behind me. And I said, okay. He said, you're going to turn me? I said, yes, I will. I'll go and organise the lads' pays, you know, when they're on casuals, they just pay the casual amount, you know. I'll organise that for the lads, you know. Oh, yes, he said, you'll come and do that.
That was in the ship's office?
Yes, in Welcome. And I said, yes, I'll do that.
Was there any ASDIC aboard?
Yes, there was. Yes. I did my ASDIC really well. In harbour, I usually did the harbour and it was in the ship's office, you see. But the ASDIC had been at sea.
Was it the same set? Now, you weren't aboard the Welcome long, well?
No, not really. Well, we went out the Far East on the Welcome, to Hong Kong, and then I was sent to Borneo, British North Borneo.
Now, what do you remember about the journey out then?
The journey out was, you will see a long time, you know, because we went right through the bottom, through the Med, you know. And then across the Indian Ocean, of course. Across the Indian Ocean, I went to Colombo, yes, I went to Colombo. And then down to Singapore. And there was the island there as well, the island. The island off the coast of Malaya. Anyhow, it was a very picturesque place, I thought. From the sea, it was white. to wait. We waited a lovely place out here. And then we went from there.